Welcome to the Comm Department Podcast, a podcast crafted by independent school communicators for independent school communicators. Join us here monthly for engaging conversations that delve into the latest trends, strategies, and success stories shaping independent school marketing and communication. We desire to spark inspiration, share valuable insights, and foster a community of like-minded professionals passionate about elevating their skills to drive positive change in their schools. Now, on to today's episode.
Daniel, thank you so much for being with us on this new Comm Department podcast. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you today.
Me too, Phil. Thanks for having me.
So Daniel is the, you are the CEO of Ubiq, which is a new, technology company, website development firm. Maybe tell us a little bit about yourself, Ubiq, how Ubiq came to be, and kind of that story.
Yeah, sure. So my background really goes back to straight out of university when I set up a previous company called School Website. I didn't really know what I was doing, not sure I do now, but I'm still doing my best. But I set that up straight out of uni, as I said, and really that just grew with me. I did that for 15 years. We moved from public schools through to K-12s, and it was wildly successful. We started in the UK. UK turned into British International Schools. British International Schools turned into the US. Before I knew it, we had 3,000 schools in total, and a pretty good business. But I felt that that journey had run its course. I felt like I'd taken it as far as I could. And I also felt like technology wasn't keeping up with the things I wanted to do. You know, 7-8 years ago, we were trying to do personalization, but the tech wasn't there. So I felt like it was the time to kind of hand it over. We were bought out in 2016, and I had a 5-year non-compete. So that took me to 2021. And during that time, I was really looking at the market, looking at what was happening. And I felt that the innovation just wasn't there anymore. I'd prided my previous business on trying to do different things, trying to iterate, trying to bring in the latest tech. And I didn't feel there was a challenger brand in the market. So Ubiq was born. I thought, okay, let's do this again. Let's go again and see what we can do. And really, the USP, the angle for me was data and technology. That's what shifted dramatically in the last 5 years. And so I felt if I could build a business that kind of mirrored those two things, then we'd be in pretty good shape and we'd offer something new.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, for those of you listening, I also am on staff at Brentwood Academy, which we are a new Ubiq client, excited to be with you guys. And one of those pieces that you were talking about was data. I know my colleague Holly Grinvix loves data, and you have delivered on the data piece, which is exciting. Maybe tell us a little bit more about the data piece and how that is changing the game for schools. I know there's this element that you call personas. That I know that we're leaning into pretty hardcore at Brentwood Academy, and that's been a game changer for us.
Yeah. So, I mean, every school's got Google Analytics, and that's a conversation that's existed for a very long time. But I do feel that Google Analytics lacks the context that schools in particular need. You know, they need to be able to differentiate between a prospective parent and a current parent, as an example, and see what that user behavior looks like. And see how it differs from one to the other. They even want to be able to break down that prospective parent cohort and say, okay, what does that look like when segmented? So is there a particular interest of particular families? Not treating all families as equal, which they are not, but looking at the different traits, the different things, the different groups of families that might choose a school or that might donate to a school have about them, and then thinking about how we can connect with them better, how we can personalize content to them, how we can reduce friction in their customer journey, how we can build a better experience for them based upon the learnings from that data. And so I guess we track a lot of things, but the overall objective is to learn more about the customer individually and their user behavior in the context of choosing a school or donating to a school, and then make ongoing iterative change. So for me, we call it the data flywheel. It's essentially you do something, you gain the data on it, you feed the data back into the system. Did it work? Did it not work? You iterate again and you keep improving. And that's the premise on which the websites that we build are based, and our kind of ethos as a business to keep on moving and trying things and seeing what works and what doesn't.
So now you are, what, 3 years into this business? What have we seen from the schools that have been with you for a while, and what decisions now are they able to make because of this new data that they have?
Yeah, so without doing specifics on specific schools, I think the interesting thing about marketing admissions in this space is there's a lot of assumptions made. There's assumptions made on how someone will interact with the website. There's an assumption on the types of family that choose a particular school and why they choose it. And what the DXP, what the digital experience platform that we've got that collects this data tells us is sometimes these assumptions are right, but also sometimes these are wrong. So it has two purposes. One, to validate what we think we know, and to confirm that so we can carry on doing it. Okay, so sometimes we also get data that tells us something different to what we thought was the case. So in some cases, it's not validating, but it's disproving. We have situations where a school has assumed that its audience comes from a particular place, but then there's another audience, a smaller, more niche audience they didn't recognize and they don't cater for, but that exists and is identifiable from their user behavior. And therefore, they have a decision. Do we start to communicate with this audience specifically and personalize content, or do we not? But at least it's a choice within their power.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. What else are y'all doing as far as pushing the envelope in terms of school and how they interact with the web?
Yeah, so the big one for me is the AI space. Obviously, you don't need me to tell you that that's what everybody's talking about. But our direction is not the same as everybody else's. I think, you know, I can do a seminar, a webinar, whatever you want to call it, tomorrow that's on, you know, prompts for ChatGPT. But actually, that's not where we can really move the dial in terms of marketing and admissions. I think there's other places. So let me give you an example of the sorts of things that we're looking at the moment. So most schools will treat all admissions inquiries as equal. They will treat them in the same way, regardless. However, actually, what if we could use AI to figure out the inquiries that we get that are most likely to convert? And then the inquiries not so likely to convert, the inquiries that are unlikely to convert, would we market and communicate to those post inquiry differently? I would hope we would, but the fact is that we don't have that information readily available to us at the moment, so we can't act upon it. And so using AI for those kind of use cases are where I find most power, most possibility. So big AI piece for us here at UBIC is figuring out, okay, you know, we know it's there. What can we do to add value in terms of either communicating with the audience better or using it to find and segment our audience in a particular way that will allow us to communicate better?
Yeah, that's great. So what does a partnership with UBIC practically look like? Like what can a potential client expect when working with you guys?
Yeah, good question. I think, well, obviously you're in a good position to answer that because you work with us. But hopefully, the answer is that we're a company that wants true collaboration. That's really important to me and to UBIC, that we're not going to suggest for a second that we got everything right, that our journey's finished, that our tech has got everything we've ever dreamt of. So therefore, what we are effectively doing with our customers is continually iterating ourselves, continually improving that platform. And so really what we're looking to achieve with the schools that we're working with is a true collaboration where built on trust, built on transparency, and built on honest feedback so that we as an organization can evolve from that. The second part, and I think this is equally important for us, is to provide value. I don't feel like there's been enough value provided in this sector for a very long time. Costs are high. Value, I felt, is low. And it's time for a provider to get out there and to say, do you know what, guys? We're going to really care about not just building the website up front, but helping you achieve your goals for the long term. You know, more admissions, more inquiries, more donations, more people signed up to summer camp, whatever the goal might be, we're going to sit alongside you and figure out how we can do that together based upon our knowledge expertise, your knowledge expertise, and the tech that we're building around us to do that. That's essentially what a partnership should look like, I think.
Yeah, and we've definitely experienced that with great folks that you've got on your team, like Susie and Joanna and Chris. They've been great partners in the process, and we're still iterating with you. We are still in that process of refining the site, refining what we can do with you guys and what we can, the data that we can garner and all of those great things. So we are super appreciative. From your seat, as you know, I've been in independent education now for close to 15 years. And I remember when the website was not responsive, when we were on these early platforms that was even prior to Ruby on Rails, that, you know, the site really could have text and a photo and maybe a video if you really hung on tight. But, you know, and now the internet has matured. We're coming into this place where data and AI are the you know, key words we're using in this podcast today. What does the next 5 to 10 years look like, and what do schools need to be prepared for, and what do they need to look out for?
Yeah, I mean, that's always a tricky one. You know, predicting the future is one of the more difficult things. And if I could genuinely predict the future, then I could do some really interesting things. But the reality is that you've got to look at the problem you can solve, or look at the problems that exist and figure out, is that likely to be solved over the next 5 to 10 years? So let me give you a practical one that exists for me. I'm going out of school context a little bit here, but in the wider web, so to speak. I pretty much run my business from a phone now. I didn't do that 5, 6 years ago. I predominantly ran my business from a laptop. Now, most of my communication, my connections with my internal teams, my connection with clients, even podcasts and video stuff, all from my phone. But the challenge we have from a technology standpoint is there are occasions where we need to not use our phone and we need something bigger. Actually, choosing a school is one of those interesting scenarios where we still see 50% traffic on desktop and 50% on mobile, because to gain that really big visual experience, we need to be able to see a bigger screen. So if you were to ask me, if the question is, you know, how might the web, how might technology move forward over the next 5 to 10 years, I think we'll figure that out. I think my device will give me that big screen view that I need on those few occasions that I need it to be able to immerse myself in that experience, whether that's a screen or whether that's a whole immersive world built around me through VR, whatever it might be, who knows. But on a more practical level, I think the big thing that schools need to care about more and think about more is the mobile experience. We've had mobile first as a thing, and I'm not against it, but it's not that we have a single device. Mobile is not a single screen size anymore. We have all of these different breakpoints, as we call it, across all these different devices, and I still don't feel like most schools understand that or are delivering a seamless experience without friction across those. Let me give you a really quick example. Forms are the bane of most people's existence, right, when it comes to schools and school websites, is that they'll embed a form in from a third party platform. It won't be responsive. Therefore, I'll be scrolling left and right, up and down, just to get my form completed, if I can even put up with it. So I think in the nearer term, if technology hasn't solved the problem for us, we're going to have to make those mobile experiences better. We're going to have to allow the end user to be able to go from start, first touch point, to last end touch point, completely on mobile device, and also not treat them like they're a first time visitor each time they return. So we see on average, before someone fills out an inquiry form, maybe 3-4 interactions. They'll come back and they'll do some research, and then maybe they'll tell another family member, they'll do some further research. Maybe then they'll come back and figure out whether they can afford it or whether the location works or whatever it might be. They don't get on the website, or most families don't get on the website, do it once from start to finish, learn about the school, fill out the inquiry form at the end. So we're going to have to evolve how we treat these families and understand that they are in a part of a customer journey, not always at the beginning. And it's not acceptable to continually greet them like they're a first-time visitor, not understand anything that they've seen or done before, and then expect them to pick it up where they left off. We've got to be more sophisticated with our technology. Say, we know you've seen this. Now it's time for you to see this, that, and the other for your customer journey to be complete. And that, again, is where AI and other machine learning techniques should play a role.
Here's a question that's not on on the thing that we talked about. I'm curious, how you see the future of integrating and connecting with the vital part of a school's existence, which is a school information system. There's several of them out there that schools use. Brentwood Academy uses Veracross, there's Blackbaud, there's Senior Systems, and the list goes on. What From a website development firm like yourself, how do you see the future of integrating with these important systems that schools definitely utilize?
Great question, and one that comes up a lot for obvious reasons. I think, again, it comes down to not making the SIS or the website provider the end user's problem, the family's problem, but making it our problem between us to solve. And what I mean by that is a family doesn't care whether that's the Veracross portal or that's the YubiK portal or the YubiK website or the form from Veracross or whatever. That's not their problem. And so our job has to be to make that experience as seamless as possible, as frictionless as possible, by making sure that our integrations are done correctly, mainly using APIs, and that they deliver on the promise of a seamless experience. I don't feel like that's there yet, in the school world, but certainly those SIS providers have worked hard over the last, let's say, 2 to 5 years on developing those APIs and endpoints. So now the data is available. It's up to companies like us to be able to then leverage that and build those experiences. But I think for too long, we've made the problem the end users, and we need to take responsibility between the organizations delivering the technology and say, okay, how do we produce a seamless experience and not put our own interests first, but put the interests of the user first and then figure out the commercials thereafter?
Yeah, that's great. Well, Daniel, I'm super excited that y'all have decided to join Elevate for a second year in a row this year as our exclusive website provider sponsor. And so folks that are coming to Elevate, you'll get to interface with people from your team and get to learn more. Any words for the folks coming to Elevate, or just your own thoughts on the gathering of these important communication professionals?
Yeah, I think the main one for me is this is a really collaborative event. Whereas you go to certain events and people speak at you or you're speaking at people, the sense in the room, the sense of the people that attend this event is one of kind of community. That's what I feel from my experience, and therefore they're coming to collaborate. They're coming to talk about the problems and challenges that they have in this space. And they're looking not just to providers like us to solve those, but each other. How can they bounce ideas off each other? What solutions have other people come up with to solve those problems? So I feel like everybody walks away from the event having learned something new and then figured out some techniques or things that they can try to make something better, whatever that something might be, that's important to them.
Well, Daniel, that's great. And I'm so thankful that you were able to join us today and share a little bit more about what your company is able to do for folks in independent school marketing communication. And we look forward to hopefully seeing you around at Elevate and maybe come jump back on the podcast.
Thank you for listening. This podcast is produced by Elevate Community and Conference. For more information about Elevate and our annual conference, visit elevatecommunity.net. Join us next time as we continue the conversation and grow together.